First case up this morning is State v. Martin. Would you like to reserve time?
Yes, please. 3 minutes. Good morning. My name is Maureen Sear. I represent Tiffany Martin. In this case, Martin's convictions for second-degree identity theft must be reversed because the jury was instructed on an alternative means of committing the crime that was not supported by proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and the record contains no particularized expression of jury unanimity. The second-degree identity theft statute sets forth 4 alternative means of committing the crime. The statute says no person may knowingly obtain, possess, use, or transfer a means of identification or financial information of another person with the intent to commit or to aid or abet any crime. These 4 actions are distinct alternative means.
Wasn't this just addressed in State versus Butler?
Yes.
How do you distinguish?
In Division 2?
Yes.
Well, we disagree with Butler. Butler held that these are not alternative means. Contrary to Butler, we believe they are alternative means. I noticed that there was no petition for review filed in Butler, and so the Washington Supreme Court is not going to have an opportunity to issue a ruling on that case. One of the tests to apply in deciding whether there are alternative means in the statute is whether the statute describes distinct acts. These are 4 distinct acts: obtain, possess, use, or transfer. A person can obtain or possess a means of identification without using it or transferring it. In contrast, the first degree trafficking statute, which the Washington Supreme Court addressed in State v. Owens and held that there were 2 alternative means in the first degree trafficking statute. One of them described several actions that the court held were not sufficiently distinct to constitute alternative means. They were a person who knowingly initiates, organizes, plans, finances, directs, manages, or supervises. The court held those are not distinct alternative means. They all sort of describe the same kind of action, which is to direct or organize a trafficking operation. Whereas here, these are 4 distinct acts: obtain, possess, use, or transfer. They can't be all subsumed under a single category, such as to organize or direct trafficking. Another test to apply is whether or not these are definitional terms. These are not definitional terms. These are contained in the statute setting forth the crime of second-degree identity theft. It does not refer to a separate definitional statute. And we contrast the crime of possession of stolen property, possession of stolen motor vehicle. In Macacao, which is a case that the state relies on, which held that the possession of a stolen motor vehicle does not set forth alternative means because that crime just says a person commits the crime if one possesses a stolen motor vehicle, and refers to a separate definitional statute which defines possession, which...
Don't you have to possess to be guilty of the other 3 means?
That's true. There is some overlap in these terms, in these acts, but not complete overlap. Again, a person can obtain or possess a means of identification without also using or transferring it. And then finally, the legislature stated that each separate action of obtaining, possessing, using, or transferring a person's means of identification is a separate unit of prosecution, and that's in the statement of purpose provision. How can each one of these actions be a separate unit of prosecution without also being a separate alternative means? That simply does not make sense. So we have some legislative intent contained in the statute saying that these are distinct alternative means.
But you could use a card multiple times. You could transfer it to multiple individuals. Aren't those discrete units of prosecution?
Yeah, those would be discrete units of prosecution. But also the statute, the statement of purpose says each act of obtaining, possessing, transferring, or using a means of identification is a separate unit of prosecution. So although each act of attaining is a separate unit of prosecution, each act of obtaining is a separate unit of prosecution from each act of using or transferring. So therefore, these are also distinct alternative means. Finally, the convictions must be reversed because the state presented no evidence to prove that Ms. Martin transferred any of the means of identification. Owens, Ortega Martinez hold that if the evidence is insufficient to prove beyond a reasonable doubt one of the alternative means, the conviction must be reversed unless there's a particularized expression of jury unanimity contained in the record. That means there must be something in the record demonstrating that the jury actually reached a unanimous agreement on that alternative means. It's not proper for the reviewing court to try to substitute its own judgment for the judgment of the jury and try to say, well, a reasonable jury would have probably reached a unanimous agreement on this particular means for various reasons. Instead, the constitutional right to jury unanimity requires actual unanimous agreement. There must be an actual showing in the record that this particular jury reached an actual unanimous agreement. And there's nothing like that in this case. There's no special verdict form, and there's no clear election by the prosecutor, which maybe might be sufficient, but there's nothing such as that in this case. So for these reasons, Ms. Martin's convictions must be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Ian Eath, representing the state of Washington on this matter. Our position in this case is relatively simple. We're asking this court to adopt Division II's sound reasoning in State versus Butler and hold that identity theft is not an alternative means crime. Secondly, we're asking you to follow this court's recent opinion in State versus Tyler and hold that because identity theft is a single means crime, a verdict of guilty was necessarily unanimous as to the means. The unanimity right of Ms. Martin in this case was not implicated because this is a single means crime. We're thus asking you to affirm Ms. Martin's conviction. I will attempt to be relatively brief because, quite frankly, the Division II's opinion in State v. Butler couldn't say it any better, really. It's very succinct, it's very clear, and it follows our current case law on alternative means very closely and very soundly. The recent case law, especially Sandholm and Owens, make it very clear that when a statute sets forth a series of interrelated verbs, that describes minor nuance in the prohibited conduct and not alternative means. When the verbs describe mere facets of the same criminal conduct, those are not alternative means. State v. Butler set this forth very clearly as it established that the crime of identity theft is not an alternative means crime. The Butler court said that the verbs here are not distinct means by which to commit identity theft, but rather are multiple facets of a single means, and that's very well put. Because, as it pointed out, the statute is very, very similar to the trafficking statute in Owens, where no single action in the statute can be completed without simultaneously completing at least one other action. That results in the conclusion that these are far too similar to constitute distinct alternative means.
Transfer doesn't fit that standard, does it?
That's correct. And the Butler court made a very well-reasoned point when it noted that not every verb must overlap in order to constitute a single means. And it pointed out that in Owens, for example, it is one, that one can supervise the trafficking of stolen property without financing the trafficking of stolen property. And yet our Supreme Court found that Owens is not an alternative means crime, that these verbs do not, each one does not need to overlap with the other. What the actual test is whether these verbs are so similar that they do not describe distinct acts. The bottom line is that, I'm sorry.
Well, all four constitute a form of possession.
That's correct.
You have to possess to do any of the other three.
That's absolutely true. And the appellant's point about the statement of intent, I think, is actually helps make the point that this is not an alternative means crime. If you look at the statement of intent that the legislature passed, what they talk about is these four verbs all in the context of one single harm. And then they also describe these verbs together as a collective act. So the statement of intent doesn't show anything about alternative means. And attempting to conflate unit of prosecution with alternative means analysis is not supported by any authority. And frankly, unit of prosecution is irrelevant to the analysis of whether the legislature has set forth distinct alternative means of committing each crime. The unit of prosecution has to do with whether, as you noted, you can take one card and pass it multiple times, whether that is one act of identity theft or many. And the legislature has established that because you're doing the harm multiple times with the same card, that should be penalized multiple times. That doesn't have anything to do with alternative means analysis at all.
But it does distinguish it from the possession point that I was making, because you can possess it once.
That's true. You can possess the card once, but if you use it...
And if this was about possession, they could have said possess, comma, by obtaining, using, or transferring. They certainly haven't made this a possession-only crime.
No, that's true, but I think the Owens Court pointed out that not all the terms need to overlap. You don't need to find one term to which every other verb relates back. The Owens Court pointed out that an example of a statute that is a single means crime that can be committed in several means within means is if you look and see if any of them overlap. And I think Butler states it very well in looking at this particular statute that is before you now and finding that because there is no single action in the statute that can be completed without also at the same time committing one of the other verbs.
But doesn't that interpretation ask us to read possession out of the statute? Because by obtaining, using, or transferring, you're necessarily in possession. There's no independent purpose for possession to be in the statute. And that interpretation asks us to give no meaning to the bare act of possession, because you'd be charging two crimes, transfer and possession, every time you charge transfer.
Well, I don't think so. I think that the test, if you look at Sandholm and you look at Owens, is not whether you're excluding particular verbs. It's whether the legislature intended that these be so distinct as to be completely unrelated to one another and yet still accomplish the crime. And when you're talking about facets or points along in a continuum of committing the crime, the fact that you cannot transfer somebody's means of identification without possessing simply means that the legislature is describing a continuum of different ways to commit the same act. And I think that's apparent if you read the statement of intent, where they talk about possess, use, or transfer, obtain, possess, use, or transfer as a single act. And I think that's where it becomes clear that they're trying to make sure that they're talking about the entire continuum of a single act, so as they're not leaving out people who, you know, merely possess versus actually using the card. The other point I wanted to make before I conclude is that this court's reasoned opinion in State v. Tyler should be followed, which disposes of any notion that there's a law of the case operation here in which multiple verbs in a single means crime suddenly become alternative means through the law of the case doctrine. And I would only mention that briefly because I think it's pretty clear that, and Tyler is pretty clear that Musacchio from the United States Supreme Court has disposed of our law of the case jurisprudence in this state.
Well, there's been some criticism because Musacchio didn't overturn our current jurisprudence, I think. think the reasoning in Tyler was we anticipate our Supreme Court would go the same direction, but so far.
Yes, and I'm simply commenting that I think your reasoning in Tyler is very sound, makes a lot of sense, and I don't see any reason to depart from that in this particular case. So the bottom line here is if the statute is not an alternative means statute, the analysis stops. If the court concludes that the statute, as the court concluded in Butler did, is a single means statute, that's the end of it. The unanimity right is not implicated. The fact that transferred is part of the to convict instruction in this case is irrelevant to the unanimity issue, and therefore Ms. Martin's conviction should be sustained and affirmed. Thank you.
One test the Butler court used was that there was to look at the overlap between the actions, and the court pretty much hung its hat on that, and that's really not the test. In Owens, the court said the test is whether or not these different actions describe one sort of overarching kind of action. For example, in Sandholm, driving under the influence of either alcohol or a drug or a combination of alcohol and a drug pretty much describes one single action, which is driving under the influence of some kind of substance that affects your ability to drive.
But, I mean, you agree before you use or transfer, you're going to have to obtain or possess.
Yes, but a person can obtain or possess without using and also without transferring. The fact that the state did not include the verb use in the to convict instruction here sort of makes the point. How can you, if these are not alternative means and they're all describing the same thing, why did they leave one of them out? Also, in the legislature's statement of intent regarding the unit of prosecution, the legislature has a separate sentence referring to the use of a means of identification from a separate sentence describing obtaining, possessing, or transferring. And also, the legislature said each act of obtaining, possessing, or transferring a means of identification or financial information is a separate unit of prosecution. Of course, unit of prosecution is relevant to alternative means. Unit of prosecution is how we define the crime. So if these are separate crimes, each act is a separate crime, of course it's going to be a separate alternative means. Alternative means is a subset of the definition of the crime. And then I think that, Judge Applewick, your point about the legislature could simply have said a person commits the crime by knowingly possessing a means of identification, and then again referring back to the possession definitional statute. But the legislature didn't, and that's a definitional statute that does not set forth alternative means. But the legislature didn't do that. The legislature included these four distinct verbs, which mean different things, and that demonstrates the legislature's intent that these are all separate alternative means. Thank you.
Thank you.